It is important when trying to understand some of the teachings of Jesus, it's important to remember that the audience that might have been listening to him in the first century was most likely illiterate. I'm not sure you've ever thought about this or if I've mentioned it to you, but scholars tell us that probably less than 5% of the people that Jesus would have been speaking to could read or write. That means maybe three of us in this room could read or write while listening to a teaching. And what that means is Jesus really focused the way he taught on beautiful oral communication. He used big metaphors that would capture the imagination of his followers so they could remember. He told brilliant stories that we've come to call parables that he would use in order for this kind of hook to tease the mind of the people listening. And then he often used very poetic language, using rhythms and patterns of speech so that people can remember. I'm telling you all this because maybe you've got this already, but all three of those are contained in our reading today. Jesus really wants us to think about prayer. And I got to tell you, I can't get it all in one sermon. I'm contemplating teaching a fall thing on prayer so we might figure out what it is and what it's not. Anyway, that's for another day. But today, I'm going to take you back to the Christmas carol. I want you to listen. You need to distinctly understand what Jesus is saying, or nothing wonderful can come from our prayers. So he uses these techniques. They come to him. His disciples say, "Hey, teach us. We see that you're praying. We want to do what you do. Show us how to pray. Teach us," like John taught his disciples. And so he gives them some words, words we just said together a minute ago. We've been praying that prayer, "Our Father, who art," we've been doing that for a long time. He gave them words, but then he gives them this parable about, and I had never heard this word until Mikey used it in this reading. I call it the persistent neighbor, but they called it the audacious neighbor who comes banging on the door in the middle of the night saying, "Can you get me some bread?" And I want to come back to that just for a minute. And then finally, this beautiful poetic pattern that is beautiful in Aramaic. In English, we get it, right? He says, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you." All of these ways, he's trying to give us a very direct message that I hope we can discover together today. And when we do, when we distinctly understand it, then something wonderful can come from our prayers this morning. So in that spirit, would you pray with me, please? God, gracious God, touch our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, so together this day we might see and hear and truly believe in this way of faith, this way of light and love and life that comes to us as we walk together in the ways of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. At camp last week, I was the dean of the little kids, and there were co-deans of the high school group, and they are new friends to me. Their names are Paul and Amanda. And Paul is a fire chief, the chief of the fire department in Ipswich, Massachusetts. And his partner, Amanda, works some 50 miles away in Waterville Valley, where she is an EMT, a police officer, and is just finishing her fire school training. So she will become what she told me is triple certified. And this is a new thing that's happening in small New Hampshire towns. They are training their public safety people to be police officers and fire people and EMTs all at the same time. What a brilliant idea, so that when the call goes out, There's somebody ready to respond. And I want to think about this call and response. I sat many mornings. Paul and Amanda are also early risers, so it would not be unusual at camp for the three of us to be sitting on the front porch of the Madison porch drinking coffee together before the onslaught of kids, before the kids woke up. We were having coffee. And we'd have these lovely discussions, and I asked them a lot about their work. And they were telling me stories about what it's like to be on the fire department or a police officer or an EMT, of which they're very well trained. And I like to throw in, if you remember, I told you, I think, that the very first church I served, I was only there 2 days when the fire department came knocking on the church door saying, they didn't ask me, they just told me that I was now a volunteer fireman because they needed bodies, and I had a body, so I became a volunteer fireman. And so for 5 years, I actually trained as a volunteer fire person in this little town in Iowa. But anyway, as we're talking about emergency response people, I get to thinking about, I'd like you to think about this with me, because I marvel at it. When their alarm, it's probably a phone now. It might used to have been a walkie-talkie. And when in my day, we had a pager that would go off. When the pager goes off, they go. Okay. You don't seem impressed. Humans tend to think much more carefully about these kinds of interactions, right? They don't stop to say, I wonder whose house is on fire. I wonder if I like them. I wonder if perhaps it was their own damn fault that their house is on fire. I wonder, they don't do the human thing about negotiating the relationship. They just go. It's remarkable if you think about it. They see it as their life's work. The second the alarm sounds, the second the call comes in, they respond. No questions asked. No waiting, and they go right to work. They don't come to an accident victim and ask questions about whether this is a good thing or not, or whether they would like each other, or whether they're similar, or whether they have the same kind of ideas about the way the world ought to work. They just respond and help. I marvel at that vision. But I want to think with you a minute about how it is, why it is that we human beings like to negotiate all of our relationships. Do I really want to be your friend? Do I really want to talk to you? Do I really want to go? I've been invited to my neighbor's house. Do I really want to? That's our human instinct, is to overthink things. So in this story about prayer today, Jesus tells us this wonderful parable about a neighbor who is banging on his neighbor's door. And Jesus makes this simple assessment and says, Even if it's not for friendship, just because of the audacity of the persistence of the person banging on the door, they will get a response. So why did he need to tell us that? Why does he say to us, if you really want something bigger, wonderful to happen, You've got to ask for it. You've got to seek it. You've got to bang on the door. This sense of understanding prayer, and prayer isn't just about, I like to call it the Santa Claus mindset. That's not how I understand prayer. Like, you know, if you're naughty or nice, you get to ask and Santa Claus will grant you whatever you want. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a deeper relationship and connection with something bigger than ourselves. God, if you will, or love, or possibility. And in order for that to be accessible, you've got to put the ball in play. You've got to ask. You've got to knock. You've got to say at some level, I can't do this all by myself. I may need some help. And I think that's what we hate. I think that's what makes us nervous. This lovely idea in which Jesus wants his followers, he says, if you really want to do what I do, you need to really open yourself up to the possibility of something bigger than you. You need to want it. You need to desire more love, more hope, more possibility, and you need to put that request out into the universe. This is what opens the relationship with God, with love, with this higher sense of truth and power. This is how we access it. It starts with us. The only game you can never win? It's a game you don't play. This text reminds us that part of our job here every Sunday, every day, every morning when we wake up is to remember who we are, this piece of information to say, okay, God, I want something wonderful today. God, I need your help today. Or God, my friend needs your help today. Do you see what happens at the beginning of our worship service? Do you feel the shift when people start raising their hand and saying, I'd like to tell you about what's on my heart. I have a friend who needs our help. This is us opening. This is the key, is our desire to be connected to something bigger. And this is the very nature of prayer. And we can say a lot more about that another day. Ask. Ask, and you will receive. Seek. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. May it be so. Amen.